B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over in his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and you can watch us on twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub, and subscribe. You can go to your app store, get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, stream the show, listen to the podcast, all those things. And, Rich, there were other games in the NFL. The 1 o'clock slate, not the world's greatest, but they did indeed play.
Yep, the curse of Antonio Brown continues. For some reason, pop me up, Dan, both of them, if you don't mind. Oh, my hotkeys. Yeah, it's not playing for some reason.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what's happening here?
Ted Johnson broke.
it's the curse of Ted Johnson's farts.
Yeah, he went all crazy, and he, it was like the Thor situation.
You just blew out my system?
Yeah, he blew out the bridge, the audio bridge.
Oh, hell yeah, audio bridge. Audio bridge? That band is the dude from Creed, is it not? I guess they're reuniting and going on tour, is that right?
Yeah, and I bet you that you give someone enough time without something that they once liked, and they'll go back to it.
Oh, yeah, Creed would do fine. If they went on a reunion tour, they would do fine.
Yeah.
They'd probably play the House of Blues, sell it out.
And you can put that Tremonte fella who plays guitar for Creed in with the Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit in that, like, dude, it's not his fault. He shreds. Mm-hmm. He was just in a bad band. No, it's entirely their fault.
You know, Scott Stapp was on a solo tour before COVID shut him down. He was supposed to play here in Boston in April.
Again.
Are you sure it was Boston, or was it like...
No, it was. It was Boston. It was that theater right next to the Garden.
Really?
That,
yeah. He's going to play the Orpheum?
No.
Try hitting a clip, Rich.
Oh, you see, I am. Here, I see. Yeah. There it is. There you go.
It was my fault.
No problem. All right, well, we'll talk Creed a little bit later, but let's talk about how much the Bucs have been cursed since Antonio Brown showed up.
Three tight ends on the second and eight. Had to get rid of it. Look out. It's picked off. Picked off the deflection. Matthew.
Things were going swimmingly in Tampa until Bruce Arians sold his soul and agreed to Tom Brady's pleas to sign his buddy Antonio Brown. Since then, they have lost 3 of 4 games, including yesterday to the Chiefs. And one of the reasons is because this guy is playing for Kansas City.
Second and four for the Chiefs. Mahomes, snap at his belt, works the right boundary. Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. A 20-yard reception. Perfectly thrown football over the shoulder of the cheetah, who's putting on a clinic in front of a national audience.
Oh, the cheetah. Tyreek Hill, by the way, had 203 yards in the first quarter.
Well, they started, it was funny because then you looked at the score and you said, wait, they're only up by 10, because Mahomes just started, like, you could see that they were just trying to build up his stats at one point. He was just going to keep throwing, and then there was a point where Hill caught a ball around the sidelines and just got jacked. And I suppose the guy who hit him was one of the dudes he'd been picking on all game. And I think things slowed down a little bit from there. But, yeah, I mean, there was a point where it seemed like they were toying with Tampa's defense. They were just screwing with them.
I mean, with Tyree getting that many yards, I'm just glad that good things always happen to good people.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a good dude to root for. But as far as the Bucs, they know that they've got issues right now.
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, you know, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think we just got to go out, and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So, appreciate it. Just have a good week.
Even if you write off the Patriots season, here's what's fun, is that now you're starting to see their records get closer and closer. You've got a 5-6 Patriots team, and now a 7-5 team. And by the way, complete opposites. Patriots, they've won 3 of their last 4. The Bucs, they've lost 3 of their last 4. So that, if you want to get anything out of this season that might keep this Patriots season a little more fun, that's it right there. Because you know, A, that would drive Brady insane, and it would also make Bill Belichick, you know what, I bet that if he finishes with a better record than the Bucs did, or even tied, like, there's going to be some sort of, like, off-the-record thing that you're going to hear that he thought that this was his, like, favorite season ever. Like, he's going to come out, because remember how with Matt Castle, he was super proud of the fact that he was able to, even though they didn't make the playoffs, have, what, they won 11 games, right, with Matt Castle.
Right.
I guarantee you, if they just have the same record, or if, God forbid, they end up, like, getting a better record than the Bucs, oh, there you go.
Belichick will admit to this, because they're going to ask him after the final game of the season. Let's say both teams go 9-7, which is still possible. Let's say both teams go 9-7. Belichick, they're going to ask Bill, because he's been much more forthcoming this year. He's been quick to point out he's proud of how hard this team works. He knows they're not talented. He knows that he's squeezing every last piece of toothpaste out of the tube. If they ask him after the season is over, Bill, is this one of your favorite seasons ever? I guarantee you he answers the question. He won't say, yeah, it's my favorite, but he'll say, yeah, it's up there. Given how hard these guys work, they followed direction, they did everything we asked of them, all of that stuff. He'll answer the question. He loves this.
They're going to just tiptoe through the remaining schedule, though. I'm looking at who they're playing now. They've got they have a bye week next week. Okay, so then it goes Vikings, they'll probably win that. Falcons, they'll win that. Lions, they'll win that. And then the Falcons again. So they have two Falcons games, a Vikings and a Lions game.
They can run the table. I mean, they can certainly run the table. They're better than all four of their opponents in the last four games of the season. But are you going to tell me that they're not going to trip up in at least one of them?
No, I would imagine they do.
But they could.
But, John, I like where your head's at. I mean, I see this Patriots team running the table, too. So I mean, you're going 10-6 if you're the Patriots. I mean, that West Coast trip, don't worry about it.
I said 9-7. I didn't say 10-6.
All right, 9-7. There
and my
you go.
Only point was to further the Bill Belichick dialogue. There, they're not going to. They'll be lucky if they split the remaining games. Is that even possible? No. 2-3, 3-2 at best.
See, they beat the Chargers. The Patriots will beat the Chargers.
You know what? We said that about the Texans when they were one game under 500. And
sure,
this game's on the road.
But the Chargers are different because the Chargers don't have a quarterback right now. They don't even have Zitz Magoo. He's hurt. So I don't know if he'll end up being fine to end up playing. But, you know, so I don't know.
Very well-coached team, that Chargers team.
Yeah, I know. I mean, right, he's going to get fired. They find ways to lose. So that's a win. Rams, they'll lose. Dolphins, they'll probably lose. You know what? I'll say Dolphins and Bills, they'll win one of those, and then they'll beat the Jets. So they get three more wins, the Patriots do. So it could get close. It could get close that they could tie the record of the Bucs. That's all I'm rooting for now, to be quite honest, because right. That, to me, is the story. If you're going to, as a Patriots fan, root for anything, it's not for a winning season, it's not for a draft pick, it's let's see if you can beat Brady.
Root for
this.
The Belichick press conference if they get close.
Yes.
That's what you root for. Yes.
That's what you root for right there, because that would make it all worth it.
I'll tell you, that Dolphins team is boring. Oof. I'll tell you that is a boring team.
At least they had a guy who could throw the football yesterday. Fitz was good. First half, he was really good.
Fitz wasn't bad. Yeah.
Anytime you let the Jets hang around like that for no reason. And
talk to the Patriots.
Oh,
the Patriots did that all night.
Yeah,
let's see how the return of Sam Darnold.
Now on 3rd and 8, Darnold chased out, rolling right, throws on the run, and a terrible pass picked off by Nick Needham. Needham slipping tackles, and now Needham will go down.
All right, Fred. So he had two of those yesterday. Obviously, it's his first game back. No one expected greatness, but my bet that the Jets will go winless this season is still safe. I mean, they're 0-11, and the five games they got left are the Raiders. The Raiders will beat them. Seahawks will beat them. The Rams will beat them. The Browns will beat them. And the Patriots is the final game of the season. That's a pride game. Dude, they're going to go winless.
Yeah. Good. I hope. I really do.
Yeah, Jacksonville almost pulled it off,
and that would have given the Jets the breathing room they needed.
Jacksonville's like trying.
Yeah, Jacksonville, which is bad.
They have Mike Glennon in there. He's having the time of his life. He's hooting and hollering at his wife and kids in the stands. I mean, they're trying. They got something cooking there. I mean, they didn't fire their coach. They fired everyone else but the coach.
Right, somehow they fired the GM yesterday, and somehow the coach is still there.
The Jets are at a – I guess because this draft is so weird, but the Jets are at a point where I wonder if they need to fire Gase today. At this point,
just ride the bull, man. Everyone knows what's up. They know why Gase is in there. There's no questions. Nobody's angry Gase hasn't been fired. Nobody. Like, who's angry Gase hasn't been fired by now?
I don't know. It's
over. You want them to lose. Fans want Gase to ride this out. They want there to be no chance that they actually win a game. Keep Gase in there. Yeah, nobody's clamoring.
I feel so bad for Sam Darnold. I mean, they've really screwed that kid up. I mean, he's a lot worse than he was a year ago.
Yeah.
And a lot worse than he was his rookie year. He's just gotten bad. He's bad at playing quarterback. And he's got people to throw to. Oh, boy, do they give Gore the ball a lot. Hachi-machi.
Yeah, Gore got stuffed.
He stinks. Yeah. And they gave him the ball. Oh, they love it. They love Gase. They love giving him the ball, and he blows. I don't know what. They gave him the ball 18 times in that game. 18 times they gave Frank Gore the ball. Oh. All right. But he went for 74, baby.
There you go.
There you go. Yep. All right. So we'll be back. We'll continue to go around the NFL. Plus, eventually on the show, a little James Corden action. He was on 60 Minutes. And Danny Ainge scheduled to join us tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Yeah, big weekend. We got to talk about some of the stuff that went down.
I'll tell you what. I love trade exceptions. Maybe you can load up. You can get a bunch of dudes underneath that trade exception. Load up this team full of mid-level talent.
Or a very expensive big talent.
Yes, 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 of course. All right, that trade exception, it's going to be so funny because everyone's going to be waiting 364 days from now. Going, when are you going to use it? When are you going to use it?
That's going to be
there's
a chance of it. Yep.
Yeah.
It disappears just like magic.
Exactly. You got it. The problem with the trade exception is you got to use it.
Yeah. You do. You got a year.
Which will be interesting. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Over his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich going around the NFL as the Patriots continue their climb into the playoffs. All right, Rich, what's going on?
So Bert Breer warned us about this before the season started. Nearly the worst case scenario for a team. The entire quarterback roster wiped out from a COVID outbreak. That was the Broncos' reality this weekend. And after trying and failing to, comically, sign one of their assistant coaches to play quarterback for them. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
They tried to get one of their assistants.
They made a call Saturday night, and the NFL's like, well, you guys, all your quarterbacks were unmasked. In a meeting room in front of a video camera. So, no, you're screwed. You get what you get.
So what ended up happening was that backup quarterback Jeff Driskel, he tested positive. And then all the other quarterbacks, Drew Locke, Brett Ripien, and even Blake Bortles, who's on the practice squad, they were ruled out because they had come in contact with him during a positional meeting in which none of them were wearing masks, breaking the lead protocols. So they said, well, maybe we can have one of our coaches do that. And the NFL said, no, you can't. And then they said, well, then we want you to move the game. And they said, we only move games for medical reasons, not for competitive reason. Sorry, you got to figure something out. So after failing to do all of that, they settled on wide receiver Kendall Hinton against the Saints, and unfortunately, it wasn't a feel-good story.
Hinton looks to throw down the near sideline, and that ball's picked off by Jenkins at the 50. Back across field to the 40, tries to spin off of a tackler. That's Melvin Gordon taken down at the 41-yard line, and Janoris Jenkins comes up limping after the interception. It's quite honestly, it's shocking that that's the first interception.
It was wild.
there was like I can't remember what Lattimore maybe dropped like five interceptions in a row. It almost seems like he was doing the guy a solid. I watched it. It came on early, and I watched it thinking that I was going to be interested.
No.
But between the two morons playing quarterback in that game.
Taysom Hill against Kendall Hinton. That's set football back about 40 years.
Yeah, I know. And the guy's all tiny, and he's back there, and he can't throw.
And you feel awful for him. I mean, first of all, his final numbers were 1 for 9 passing, 13 yards, and 2 interceptions. And of course, Denver ended up losing. But, you know, apparently after the game, I guess the team, like, rallied around Kendall in his locker room. Like, everyone thought, you know, it was... Listen, he was asked to do a lot, and he ended up getting killed. You know, he did. He got rocked yesterday, too. But Vic Fangio afterwards, your favorite guy, Fred.
Kendall.
Not the happiest about... What is quarterbacks, the scenario that he ended up throwing the team into?
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position, that our quarterbacks put the league in that position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team, and those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing. Obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them, you know, when they're on their own. So, you know, part of that could fall on me there. I thought I was. We have emphasized it a lot.
Yeah.
You're following me like
quarterbacks.
Following me like shrapnel during WW2 when I was out there in the trenches. Hey, guys, you got your mask because here comes a little mustard gas. Boom, skabang.
Isn't there like
Fangio's gonna smoke you out?
I thought each team had a guy, and I thought that every quarterback core was like sitting in different rooms. That none of them were allowed in the same room or anything like that. I guess they just kind of said "F it." And
well, like, a lot of teams do that, but not Denver.
Nah, they don't do that. It's just like us being in studio. They don't do it. They should.
This is what happens when they don't. They should.
Well, I know they should. I mean, the protocols are. Listen, if you guys, if who knows if we all got tested every day. I guarantee you probably one of us had it.
Even if, take that all away. If the rules state that you got to do that and you break the rules, then they should know better. Like, why were they all in the same room together?
We're saying the same thing. My point is this, is that if they're going to test you every day, and if someone tests positive for COVID, they make everyone... You know, that was around them have to take the game off too.
Only
then it obviously behooves you,
which they did.
No, I know. Again, we're making the same point. It behooves you to do everything, keep it completely clear. I mean, you have to. I mean, because my point was, I wasn't being flippant. My point is genuine. Is that because so many people are asymptomatic, if you're testing people every day. People are going to have it. And so you got to keep people away. Absolutely. I mean, you're running a professional franchise. I mean, you can't be trotting out some loser from Wake Forest to play quarterback for you that can't throw a spiral.
I mean, I felt so bad for that.
I didn't feel bad for him. Here's what I guarantee you. He woke up that morning and said, what if? Like, he knows he's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I bet you he had the thought, because the kid... played, you know, a Power 5 conference. I mean,
he was a quarterback for 3 years and then switched to wide receiver his final season because he knew he wasn't going to make it as a quarterback.
But he was a quarterback who got, I would take it, a scholarship athlete to a Power 5 school.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that there was part of him that fantasized, like, you know what? Like, I'll do enough to win.
It's
like,
a Disney movie in the making. Right. Or like, kind of a mediocre 30 for 30.
And then immediately, because... you'll see guys. I mean, you see Gunnar Olszewski, not Gunnar Olszewski, the guy from the Bills that's Gunnar Olszewski. little white guy from
Cole
the Bills.
Cole Beasley?
Yeah, like he threw a nice pass yesterday. You saw Jacoby Myers throw a nice pass.
Yeah.
Like you see, it's the same guy, Gunnar Olszewski, long blonde hair, little white guy, not very good. And Belichick would try with both of them. And you see him, like, they can throw passes. This guy could not throw. But that being said, he was, every time there was a rush, scrambling like mad. in throwing off his back foot in the worst possible form. But
I know you're right.
But I do think Lattimore
looked like they were dropping interceptions just to like you know hook the guy up.
Well, Lattimore had. I think it's Lattimore.
No, Lattimore. I saw two where they were up the sideline. And the kid just heaved it deep, and Lattimore was right there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
and
so it
hit
was
him in
Lattimore.
The chest, and he dropped it. Yeah, it was Lattimore.
And there was one that was underthrown that he let go off his fingertips.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering if there was a little bit of that. Because I got to tell you, how you put up 31 points with Taysom Hill as your quarterback is really something to behold. By the way, 25 passes attempted in that game. Total.
As I said, it was 1947, yeah. That game.
Yeah, that was not a good game. Taysom Hill, we'll see. Maybe, I mean, he doesn't strike me as someone I would have a lot of faith in going forward.
He's the next guy. New Orleans obviously loves him. He is the next guy. You know, he's already 30 years old.
Maybe they didn't let him throw because of Kendall Hinton playing quarterback or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
Yeah.
I mean, they figured.
Play with a running clock and keep the score down.
Yeah, just like, yeah, why put the ball in the air?
I think that it was Sean Payton who said, I apologize to all the cardboard people in the stands. That was a tough game to watch. Like, even he's just like, dude, I know it sucked.
Yeah,
so.
You know it's tough to watch. Watch your brother die.
That's right, Vic Fangio. Well, the record says here that the Browns are a good team, believe it
or not. Third down and goal at the one. Bryant will be in front of Chubb in the I formation. Mayfield under center, turns, options it out. Here comes Nick Chubb to the corner. Touchdown, he's in. He's at 100 yards, and they're in the end zone.
And that is touchdown number 6 on the season, rushing for Nick Chubb.
Oh, well done, color analyst there. Is it now?
To the conversation there.
And this piece of paper says Nick Chubb has scored touchdowns before.
This is one of those teams where the eye test and the record just don't add up. Baker Mayfield and Cleveland Browns.
It's ridiculous.
They're 8-3, and they won by 2 points against the Jaguars.
And they had to stop the Jaguars from getting converting on a 2-point conversion at the end of the game to win.
Yeah, it was almost right there. And by the way, superstar quarterback Mike Glennon, who you had mentioned, is still playing football. That was his first start in 3 years. You know what? I guarantee you he's one of those guys who's made a zillion dollars as a backup in this league. He has to be.
I think that he is one of these guys who purchased teeth and things went horribly wrong. Because he has got a mouthful of urinals in there that they are as white as the day is long, I got to tell you. And
he
they're
looks
big.
Like Don Flamenco from the Mike Tyson's podcast.
And it's funny, he swings his arm around before he throws. You just got to hit him repeatedly to and fro in the face. But I would rather have Mike Glennon maybe than Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield does some stupid stuff. No. But I mean, at least like. He's getting smarter, which I know that sounds. Dude, the team's not good. I've watched, unfortunately, a whole game. I don't even know what game it was this season. I watched a Cleveland game, and he's been okay. He's been okay.
Yeah, 8.9 yards completion.
That's pretty good, actually. So, there you go.
Mike Glennon's only 31.
He's made, from what I see here, about $28 million.
I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Good for him, man. Take that money and run.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, by the way, Cleveland's the 5 seed in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah.
If the season ended today, they'd be in Buffalo.
Dude, it's a good record. They're 8-3. Yeah. And by the way, despite beating a bad team, you know, the Browns, they won. That's 12 years of straight losing seasons that they snapped. And the Jaguars fired the GM right after the game. So, you know, who knows if they'll get a new guy.
You can't have a newcomer come in.
What are you going to do?
And steal a show.
I know. They might... I mean, the new guy's got to like himself some mange. He's got to like himself a little bit of mange.
Mm-hmm. Mangio, you like to come on my
show? Fangio.
May I call him Mangio?
Because he's a man, and then he's was the different team.
He's
though,
the one guy that drives a Geo.
He's Mangio. Yeah. He drives a Geo.
Ah,
a Geo Storm.
Sure.
Yeah, he's a fruit. La-di-da, your fruit. what do you got there? You got the tickle in your nose? You got a little bit of the virus? La-di-da, your fruits. over there in the quarterback room. I'll spit on you. I have some kid play quarterback.
Yeah, you don't want to do that because you need your quarterback. Yeah, you need at least Blake Bortles. You lost even Blake Bortles during all this.
Blake Bortles, we'll crush him.
Yeah.
I'll put his head in a vice. I'll torture him. How's that fair? You like to be waterboarded, do you, Blake? You can't breathe. Fangio controls the pipes. Uh-oh, no air goes in, Daddy. Feels a little lightheaded. I torture.
All right. Do we have this James Corden stuff? We do. All right. James Corden, apparently, in the one line that has been relayed to me from the interview, is like a colloquialism or something that he uses that is something that just seems to excuse his behavior. I hate him. and I truly do. And I don't know him. He's done nothing to harm me. He's done nothing really to harm the nation. And of all the problems in the world, James Corden just really annoys me. But, I mean, he is a family man. I mean, he is happily married. No question about it. All right, we will be back with some of that. A little break from the football, and then we'll talk to Bob Sosa. If you want to dive deep into trade exemptions and all these things, we can do that as well. But I do want to hear this James Corden shenanigans. After a guy that was fired by the president on Twitter, and after some in-depth Anderson Cooper piece about some tragedy, in comes the dancing fat man, and we'll have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can follow John Wallach on Twitter at Ken Griffey Rules. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, I want a question for Johnny Wallach is, what does it mean by a heavily protected second-round pick? What does that mean?
It means that the second-round pick will not convert if it is in the top 55 selections in the draft. Essentially, it means that, the Hornets traded the Celtics a second-round pick, but they're really not going to get one.
Okay.
All right, so much for
it's
your
a dumb
ball
basketball
busting
term call. That's being thrown around this weekend. Well, yeah, I've saw it all over the place. Heavily protected.
I thought he was going to bust Wallach's balls. That's what it said on the screen, but it was just an actual question about some boring minutiae about some dumb second-round pick that no one cares about. Boy, oh boy. Well, I'll tell you what people care about, and that's the great James Corden. I think part of the problem, if you had to ask me, I'll give you the deaths, but aside from that, the worst thing about COVID is I have not seen, with these two eyes, a band singing their own songs in a car driven by James Corden. Now, if you've been under a rock for the last 10 years, let me tell you, there's something called carpool karaoke, where this magnificent son of a bitch, he'll take, I don't know, Linda Ronstadt, and he'll put her in the car, and then the next thing you know, Linda Ronstadt singing a Linda Ronstadt song. And then they put it on YouTube, and you all consume it and say it's great. And then I question why we're all living, and what's the point of this all? Rich, 60 Minutes, they need to cover what's in the news, and they, had some guy that Trump fired, election guy on that Trump fired via Twitter, and he talked about jibber-jabber. And they had something, Anderson Cooper did something, one's dying somewhere, jibber-jabber. But then it came down to the man, James Corden. And James Corden talked to some faceless drone on 60 Minutes, but brought some happiness into our living rooms. And if you were not lucky enough to hear it, here we are.
Some of you may know James Corden as the frisky, funny British host of The Late Late Show.
I'll tell you what, that's
frisky.
What... I know, exactly.
God. He's so frisky.
That's what...
Someone tickling his nose.
Steve McQueen was always referred to as frisky. I'll tell you what, we, you know, Robert De Niro was especially frisky in Goodfellas.
What is the definition of frisky? Oh, playful and full of energy.
Someone that if you have any sense in your brain, you would despise. I would not label any of my friends as frisky. No.
No.
Frisky seems like an improv troupe.
No, frisky.
The frisky
seems like
fanatics
that shouldn't
or something.
Be used on humans. Yeah. Like that's an animal. That's an animal adjective. For always so frisky.
Well, I do love cotton. Play with yarn. One time, the suggestion from the crowd was to be a cat, and I played with yarn. Then I sang and danced. I have a wife.
All right, here we go.
Some of you may know James Corden as the frisky, funny British host of The Late Late Show.
James, we are ready if you are ready.
I'm ready. Okay. Yes, are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Can I be honest, Bill? I wrote an email last night saying, what should I wear? Should I just wear a suit? And they said, no. They said, Bill won't be wearing a suit.
Oh, no. But I read that you're kind of a fashion person. I said, well, I guess I should.
Oh, well, no way. No. Come. Get out of here. No way. Frisky Dan. You might know this about the frisky and dandy James Corden, but he does like to dress. No. He's a man. He's a walking dichotomy, that man. You might not know about his dancing and singing, but he also has an eye for fashion. Yeah.
What?
Wait a second. No.
Should I just wear a suit? And they said, no. They said, Bill won't be wearing a suit.
Oh, no. But I read... that you're kind of a fashion person. I said, well, I guess I should up my game a little bit.
Well, and I have to say, it's not gone unnoticed. You've matched the socks to the suit. That's important to have a well-dressed ankle. That's what I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, D.A. We'll come back to you later, sir. Go back to your shoebox.
Okay.
We spoke with James Corden at the fabled Sunset Tower Hotel in West Hollywood. A stone's throw from another iconic institution, CBS Television City, where for 5.5 years, he's clocked in at 9 a.m. 4 days a week to take on the serious business of delivering a show.
Carpool karaoke, the core of it really isn't the songs. The core of it is the intimacy of the interview. That these are some of the most famous people on planet Earth. You know, the biggest singers in the world. And they're in an environment which is completely humanizing.
James.
Ah, that's the secret. That's why everyone tunes in for the interviews. That's right. That's why everyone picks up the Playboy, 1975 Playboy, to find out the likes and dislikes of the woman whose vagina is showing. Yes. What people don't get about carpool karaoke is it's actually a metaphor for war.
Like, what do you learn from sitting next to someone in a car that
it's very
if you were a skilled interviewer?
It's very intimate. It's tantamount to putting them on the moon. No one's thought of it before. Yes. If only they could dance in there. What people don't know is it's a crude metaphor for our foibles. Humans, yes, yes. Yes, people don't understand. It's the great interview, which I completely, if you put me on a lie detector, was unaware there was even an interview in the car. I was under the assumption they just sang. Now I got to really dig into it. Because when they put it up on the, they care so much about the interviews. When they put it on YouTube, those interviews are nowhere to be found.
You dismiss genius, Fred. You dismiss it.
I do. Call me when they have Kiss doing Black Diamond and we'll talk.
The core of it is the intimacy of the interview. that these are some of the most famous people on planet Earth. You know, the biggest singers in the world, and they're in an environment which is completely humanizing.
James Corden turned a guileless invitation to drive around Los
Angeles. I don't want it. Of course I turned it down. It was guileless.
Guileless.
The one thing you want. Of course I turned it down. No, I demand equal representation from both sexes. How dare you cross my desk with this guileless invitation? Unless it's guys and dolls.
Mm.
I love, 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 love musical theater. Yes.
Humanizing.
James Corden turned a guileless invitation to drive around Los Angeles into something he hangs the show on. Each carpool is a viral sure bet, sometimes taking an entire day to produce. At first, nobody.
Whoa! They take something and spend a whole day on it? Whoa! Imagine that. I mean, talk about hard working. You mean a whole business day just to do it?
To produce something that it requires Whoa. A business day to make?
Wow. You mean someone gets in and it clocks in, and 8 hours later, they're finished with it, but that whole time they were working on it, it's almost like every other job. But we do take breaks to dance.
Into something he hangs the show on. Each carpool is a viral sure bet, sometimes taking an entire day to produce. At first, nobody wanted to do it.
It was hard to get them to get in your car.
Hard? Are you joking? Of course it was. Imagine getting that call.
Imagine if you would. It's crazy, isn't it?
I don't understand, like, why this is, like this is supposed to be something that's so hair. Can you believe getting in a car for an interview?
Well, you didn't think of it. You didn't think of it. I did. That's why I'm James Corden. Theater hero, carpool karaoke inventor. No one wanted to do it. They said, James, I'm not getting in that car. And I said, you goose, you shall. And the next thing you know, we're singing and annoying everyone. Oh, I hate myself.
Odd. Are you joking? Of course it was. Imagine getting that call. You're like Adele's publicist, like, yeah, so it's a host whose show is completely unproven. They've never hosted a show before. We'd love you to just get in a car and drive around and sing your songs. And we're not really sure about the insurance on this one. You know, it was crazy. I mean,
no, it's not. I just want to stop. I'm sorry. And I know that there's like a funny angle and all stuff, but dude, it was like on a primetime late night CBS show. You're on CBFing-S. Of course people are going to say yes.
No one's ever done.
Whoa, no, my God. What if we get an accident?
No, the 12:30 show has been unproven.
Like, what is he talking about?
Well, there's only, there's three, four if you count Fox major networks. And we were only on one of them.
I mean, like, he's making it sound like you're asking them to, like, go to the moon.
Well,
like, no, this is, would you mind, take a chance on this CBS late night show? Just take a chance, will you please?
Well, you know, no one's ever done it before.
I mean, my God.
Can you imagine calling Adele's publicist, who, by the way, is Randy and Frisky?
Do you have a favorite?
Well, there's so many.
Corden was scarcely interested in academics, drama class being the exception.
Why is DA here?
Scarcely interested in academics, drama class being the exception.
I got a B in drama and a C in home economics. Which I think is clear to you that those are the only... If you look at me now, those are really the two things I took a primary interest in.
And that right there, ladies, is marriage material. Right there.
apparently, at one point in the interview, he goes, you're going to bring out the Brit in me, and I'm going to start crying when they talk about carpool karaoke. To which I have just read, finished the Rob Halford biography, where Rob Halford he writes in a very refreshing style, since he's the metal god. He's like very campy and gay in the book, as he's, you know, any big Lady Gaga, friend of Lady Gaga, and all these things. And when Glenn Tipton, the lead guitarist of Judas Priest, told him he would no longer be able to perform because he had Parkinson's disease, there is a point that Rob Halford makes that their stoicism in that moment was completely due to their upbringing in England, to which it counteracts the tears that were almost brought on by James Corden while reflecting upon carpool karaoke. So there you go. The man almost cried.
I can't get over. I mean, there's people who are big stars who will go on like a WWE, who get body slammed. Mm. There's people who are now eating hot sauce, like on Hot Ones.
It's not a con.
Like a podcast where they'll eat the hottest hot sauce while doing an interview. And for some reason, can you believe someone would come on CBS? Imagine Adele going on CBS and sitting in a car.
They took a chance on a show called Kevin Can't Wait. They took a chance on a rotund man from Long Island. His name was Kevin James. And there we go. I'm like MASH. They took a chance on a war movie made into a television show called MASH on CBS, and this is my MASH.
Oh.
All right.
Oh. Yes. Drama and home ec.
All right. Well, there you go. James Corden. I'm glad that all of you click on his videos and enjoy them. That's great. Keep doing that. Keep filling the guy's pockets. But listen, he's a nice fellow. What do you do to me? Nothing. All right, Bob Sosie is going to join us. He will join us to talk about what happened with the Patriots, a game that he called, including Jim Louth getting, I guess, two shouts out during the broadcast. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.